Juliet Galatly, the founder of Viva.
Well, Juliet, thanks again for taking the time to speak to us and for joining us today. Just give me a brief description of what this documentary is really all about and how you decided to do it.
Well, it all started in 2017 when some people in a village in Warwickshire contacted us saying, please investigate this farm called Hogwood. And we did. We investigated. We've investigated many farms over the past 25 years, but were really shocked about what we found because it was just worse and the scale was bigger. And then we found that this farm was supplying Tesco. It was Red Tractor approved, and we were really shocked by that because obviously Tesco is the biggest retailer in the UK. And so we dug further and we did a thorough investigation, got everything on film and photographed the place, and I decided to go myself because it was so bad, and what we saw was very shocking. You know, the negligence of the place, of animals with ulcerations going right through to the bone, just horrific, and the scale of the negligence as well. And so we went with our evidence to the government, Trading Standards, to Tesco, obviously, Red Tractor, thinking actually it'd be one of the easiest campaigns that were done because it was so horrific, and that they would just drop the farm. And in fact, they dug their heels in and defended it. And that spurred a whole campaign with literally millions of people getting involved. It became sort of the most infamous pig farm in the UK. And people just took it upon themselves to start protesting outside Tesco's. We held days of action where we literally had, say, 200 different Tesco stores targeted at once, with people just talking to people about what was going on. And everybody was in agreement that this place was horrific. Anyway, jump to 2018, we investigated again. It was like Fort Knox trying to get in this time. But it was just pretty much the same. The conditions were so bad, we called the police, we called the vets. And yet again, they dug their heels in, so jumped to 2019. This time we left hidden cameras, and because the hidden cameras caught the pigs actually being hit by human beings, Tesco just had nowhere to manoeuvre with that one, and they dropped them immediately. Red Tractor suspended them, and Cranswick Foods, who are one of the biggest pork distributors in the UK, also dropped them and said everything that they'd seen was unjustifiable. But it took a long time to get to that point. So we decided to make a documentary called Hogwood because so many people, including the media, had been very supportive. We'd had big national exclusives. And everyone was asking the same question, which is, how can this be happening in Britain? It's one of the biggest factory farms. It's a so-called mega farm. It's supplying the biggest retailer. How can they all dug their heels in to protect it? Why? Why is factory farming so protected? Why aren't we moving away from this as a society? And so we were investigating that and trying to look at the reasons behind it. So it's a really interesting story. Obviously, like you said, there are some harrowing aspects to it. But I think the documentary is riveting and gripping. Certainly from the reviews coming back, which are overwhelmingly positive. I was so pleased last night to see Lewis Hamilton, the Formula One champion, shared the trailer on his Instagram stories, and it just trended across Instagram. So there are lots of people who are really interested in the story, and why the hell is Britain still so behind factory farming in this day and age?
Yeah, because it's one of those things. We think that the UK and Europe in general really has high standards of factory farming and tries to keep the standards quite high. But when you see the documentary, it's just not true, right?
I know. It is. It's shocking because we like to think of ourselves as a civilized nation, and just this wouldn't happen here. And we like to think of all the, you know, the brutality. We kind of like, you know, want to think, oh, that happens over there. But it's factory farming. The really sort of upsetting thing is factory farming is actually growing. It's not shrinking. So intensive farming is becoming more intensive. And it's like you've got two things going on at once, which sound contradictory, but it's true. Intensive farming is growing and becoming more intensive, and at the same time, veganism is growing. So you've got two completely disparate things going on in the UK, although they're connected, actually. But what we're looking at now is, you know, lobbying the government to actually say end factory farming. And as you'll be aware, the documentary widens out to global issues like the environment, of course, and antibiotic resistance and pandemics themselves, of course, saying factory farming really has to go. And the slogan that we're using for that is end factory farming before it ends us.
Yeah, and you know, going back to that conversation that we had over, you know, how pandemics and how these viruses have you know, I think it was, I think I remember there was three or four, right?
Pandemic
viruses are normally from animals in markets or in factory farms. And it just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't seem to really correlate into the minds of the people who are doing the factory farming, because it just doesn't, it almost doesn't register that it's from that. So you also, as you mentioned, you have, an environmental researcher, right, in the documentary that kind of speaks on it and talks a little bit more about this side of the industry and more the pandemic of, you know, the exploitation of animals and how those viruses come about from there, right?
Yeah, that was interesting because Joseph Poor is the researcher from Oxford University and he does very little media indeed, but he's one of the most well-respected environmental researchers in the world and had a paper published recently which is the biggest study of the impact of foods, all different types of foods, thousands of them, on the environment. And through his own research, he went vegan. And he contacted Viva and actually said, we really admire what you're doing. And so I invited him to be part of this documentary, and I was absolutely thrilled that he agreed, because, as I say, it's really unusual for him to do that. But he feels so strongly about it because the human population is, you know, set to grow by 2050. We're looking at, you know, what, 10 billion people on the planet. And what environmental scientists are saying is it's wholly unsustainable to consume meat, certainly on the scale that the human population is doing, and factory farming simply has to go. There is no room for it in terms of these environmental issues like global warming and so on now, because it wastes so much land, because you have to grow loads of crops to then feed these billions of animals. And that land, if it's used to grow crops to feed people directly, you'd need 76% less of it. So you can imagine in a world where we're destroying wildernesses now for the last bits of land for grazing and food crops for fodder, we just can't afford this meat-based lifestyle. And that's what he talks about, and also things like this, obviously, pollution of water, the overusage of fresh water. There are massive issues connected to factory farming and consuming meat. And then there's Dr. Josh Collymore, who's a public health expert. So his concern are twofold. One is antibiotic resistance. So we get used to hearing, you know, the criticism of GPs for overusing antibiotics for us. But in fact, the biggest use of antibiotics, of course, is for factory farming. Because how do you keep these animals alive in conditions where you're cramming thousands together? How do you stop the spread of disease? So, of course, you use drugs. And so the biggest overuse and the biggest usage of antibiotics by far in the world is factory farming. And it's directly causing the resistance of these bugs to use of these drugs. So he talks about, you know, a post-antibiotic era, which is really scary. And then you see the whole connection to pandemics. So we talk very briefly about that in the video, but it's part of the interweaving of the story. Like you said, these viruses are swirling around factory farms of the world. No exaggeration. I mean, with bird flu, the World Health Organization has said exceptionally clearly that they think that's going to be the next pandemic. And if it is, we're in real trouble, because bird flu has jumped across to humans now hundreds of times. And when it does, its death rate is 60%, so over half the people it infects dies. When you compare that to coronavirus, which in the UK is less than 1%. And so the thing is, it hasn't made those final mutations to become contagious person to person, and it's not many mutations away from being able to do that. So that's the huge worry. But the reason factory farms are so dangerous is because these bugs have got the opportunity to mutate trillions of times when you're keeping tens and tens of thousands of animals crammed together in really unhygienic, dirty conditions, which, you know, so the animals are completely under stress all the time.
Yeah, and it's just setting, you know, setting almost the perfect storm for any of these pandemics to be able to kind of, as you mentioned, mutate and produce and be able to go into humans. I mean, does it feel quite, I mean, I imagine that this moment is very nice because the documentary has done so well and the reviews you've been getting have been so nice, but is it quite frustrating sometimes to talk about this subject and see that, you know, the authorities, once you've presented, you know, the findings of your investigation in 2018, 2019, don't, you know, defend the farm and defend the factory farming rather than actually, you know, standing up and saying, you know, this is wrong, only until it's, you know, indefensible,
yes.
then it's done. But is it quite frustrating sometimes?
Yes, it is frustrating because the British people expect a lot better of their British government, and they expect a lot better of supermarkets. There's an illusion that they somehow protect us and that they will protect those animals' welfare, and these bad things just won't happen in Britain, and it's simply not true. I mean, my hope is, and that's borne out by watching the public's reaction, is that people do care enough. I think people, you know, do not want to see this level of cruelty. They don't want to see animal cruelty at all, to be honest. So people coming together and actually choosing a different lifestyle, it's changed so much just since we've been making the documentary over the last 2 years. You know, people have been choosing veganism on a scale that we just have never experienced before. And I think that's partly because these kind of issues, you know, we reach millions and millions and millions of people with the Hogwood issues, and people are just fed up to the back teeth of government and supermarkets and red tractor schemes just being a marketing con, and they're taking action themselves and choosing what they want to buy with their own wallet. And people power, you know, I think is the future. I think governments will in future have to end factory farming. I don't think there'll be any choice, but I think they'll be forced to that position, sadly. You know, they're not leaders. They're not leading us the right way at all. They're being forced into to do some good when that good happens, which is a real, real sadness and tragedy for those animals, of course.
Yeah, completely. This is kind of just a little sidebar. Do you think that obviously people have become a lot more conscious about what they eat in the last, let's say, decade or 5 years, right? But do you think that this span, kind of the 3 months during lockdown and quarantine, has made people a lot more conscious about what they eat, especially as they've maybe experimented with cooking a lot more and been able to maybe slightly change their lifestyle? I know personally a lot of people that have decided to go vegetarian and vegan just during this time span, because they have more time to cook, and it almost it's a good thing to do, right, as the pandemic.
Yes.
Is there a correlation there?
Yes, there's definitely a correlation between people choosing vegan foods and vegetarian foods and the pandemic, partly because the images that, you know, literally millions of people have seen of the wet markets kind of, you know, yes, that's consuming a different type of animal, different species, but it kind of brings back to you that pandemics generally are all caused by the jumping of a virus, either kept in a factory farm or trading wildlife. So it's what we do to animals, and I think that message is starting to reach people, and they're starting to act. And the other thing is what you just said, which is people have just had the time to think about this and absorb what really matters and be a bit more kind to themselves and kind to the world. And there was a survey done by Mintel which showed that people had experimented with veganism more than has ever happened before, and the people that were particularly interested in it, huge percentage of them actually went vegan through the pandemic itself, were people in their 20s, as you might expect. So that's, you know, really, really positive stuff. But, I mean, I have to say the membership of Viva is right across the board, all ages, you know, and people from every walk of life as well. We've really noticed a shift in that. You know, it used to be associated with being sort of like more a middle-class thing of a certain age. Now it's just gone right across the board and become generally much more popular, with millions of people across the UK trying it. I mean, the major supermarkets, their surveys say that around 1 in 4 households in the UK are now experimenting with veganism and actively meat reducing. So that is a lot of people.
Yeah, it really is, and really is. And just finally, Juliet, where can our listeners here at Sky News go to either watch, you know, this new documentary, Hogwood Farm, where does it stream and all that information? And also, where could they just go in general about information on veganism and on trying to change, you know, consumption habits as I think is quite necessary now.
Yes, so it's called Hogwood. The full title is Hogwood, A Modern Horror Story, and it's on Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, and Google Play, so people can watch it on those platforms. You can go to the website hogwoodmovie.com, which gives you more information about the movie, and there's an FAQ section and various links. One of the things I get asked an awful lot is, I'm convinced, what do I do? So I often send people to veganrecipeclub.com viva.org.uk, because that's Viva's recipe club, and it's got hundreds and hundreds of recipes. It's a very good search engine. You can put ingredients in there, and it'll come up with recipes using whatever you've got left in the fridge. it's got very simple recipes. A lot of people have been experimenting with tofu. We've done webinars with that through the pandemic, and they're on there, and they've been experimenting with bread making, so we've got lots of vegan breads on there, and so on and so forth. But I think the thing is, it's very easy to go vegan now. There are alternatives to just about everything. And so I'd encourage you to go onto that website and have a play and just enjoy it. It's nice to have different flavours. The main Viva website is just very simply viva.org.uk, which has just got everything vegan on it.